Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. This is Mike Kraft from Panthers.com. There's an inside joke there. Brian Strickland, senior writer from Panthers.com. And Max Henson, staff writer from Panthers.com. Dan LaTaraca taking a virgin run on the audio board there, Dan. You got me with that one. But anyway, glad to be here today on the first day of OTAs. And that means the team is on the field right now. And we're doing this show. And we'll get our first look at the team on Thursday. Practices are closed today and tomorrow, but we will be there. And guys, as OTAs begin and we get our first look at the whole team, including the new rookies together, obviously some guys won't be there. What are the most important storylines, Brian, as we go into OTAs?
Max, I want to defer to you on this. You step up first, man, with your you did an article on Panthers.com that I've checked out.
Well, I tossed to you and you tossed to him.
I did.
Okay. That's
did.
What Brian does.
Sorry.
He doesn't want the ball in his hands.
I didn't get my defers. Script. I'm off script already. Go ahead, Deb.
Yeah, we put out a piece just kind of outlining some five storylines to watch, and one of them, which I know everyone is eager to see how it plays out, is Mike Shula now as the offensive coordinator and his first chance to work with the veterans and kind of implement his plan. And it's exciting for him, obviously, exciting for Cam, that the two of them, Cam and Mike, have had a good relationship and since Cam came into the league. And now, obviously, Shula's role has expanded to the entire offense. But I think we're all curious to see how that relationship is going to allow for maybe Cam to even grow and expand his game even more heading into his third season. So that's certainly one to watch, and I know everyone's excited to see how the offense is going to start to look.
Well, let's state it for a second, Brian, as we talk about this new offense. It was hard to judge from rookie camp because things were so vanilla because you just had a group of guys thrown in there.
Right.
You had your free agents, your undrafted free agents, and then you had your tryout guys in there. So it was a little bit different. But, I mean, if you look at the roster and the way things are shaping up with guys coming back like Hartsock and Richie Brockle,
right,
you have to feel like there's going to be a lot more in your face pushing the ball around the field.
Yeah, I mean, and the pieces are in place to do that if that's the approach the Panthers want to take up front as well, for that matter. I mean, obviously injuries hurt the O-line some last year. We fully expect those guys to be 100% at the beginning of the season. The pieces are in place for that approach. You know, obviously Mike Shula has been a part of this offense for 2 years now. Now he has more responsibility. Certainly Coach Rivera will have an input on that as well. It's going to be interesting to see, Mike. I mean, it's not going to be the same offense, but to what extent it'll change. OTAs are a step in the process of us getting a glimpse of that. We're still a good ways out, though, from what we're actually going to see come game day.
Right.
Max, to spin off your article, and we'll go to our fans' questions here shortly, but not a day goes by when fans aren't talking about targets for Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed you had two on there that were highlighted.
Yeah, well, you talk about the two new guys brought in out of the free agent market with Dominic Hixon and Ted Ginn, and I think fans are, as we know, very excited about the wide receiver position in general, always asking plenty of questions about that position. And those are two guys that the team brought in, and different players. Hixon is an interesting one for me just because he struggled with injuries so much throughout his career, but he's always been able – he's shown flashes of really a guy that the Giants thought could be, you know, a reliable receiver for them, just never really got a chance to because he can stay on the field. That'll be obviously the challenge for him here in Carolina as well. And Ginn, the speed. You're excited about Ginn because of the speed element. One of the, you know, such a fast receiver. Return game is really kind of where he thrives. But you wonder, when he was in Miami the first few years of his career, he caught 30, 40 balls. So you wonder if maybe he sees himself maybe in that role here as well. Is he going to challenge for one of those receiver positions? And I brought up two of the guys who missed the majority of last season due to injury as well, Kalo Hupp-Polaris and David Geddes. There's a deep wide receiver group. And they're going to be fighting and battling for positioning. It's an interesting group to watch as we enter OTAs and, of course, heading into training camp.
And one more thing on the receiver position, Brian. I just get the sense from reading all the fan response that there is a real hankering to have someone in that bunch stick their head above the crowd and really grab hold.
Yep.
And I won't say number two receiver position because in my book, Greg Olsen is the second target. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if you go by the numbers, but they're looking for somebody else to come up and take some of that pressure off of Olsen and Steve Smith.
Yeah,
I agree with that. And fans want that. I mean, the coaching staff wants that. The team wants to see that happen. I do think, you know, early on in the process, Brandon LaFell, I think, you know, gets overlooked sometimes. I understand, you know, his numbers haven't been massive, but that speaks to me partially what you said about Greg Olsen, that he's the number two option. So, I mean, I certainly think Brandon LaFell has been a good number two and is the lead candidate for that role. And I saw development from him last year, and I assume I'll see the same this year. But, yeah, I mean, obviously you would love to have somebody in that role that puts up Mohsin Muhammad-like numbers if possible. I just don't know if that's practical with what Greg is able to do at the tight end spot. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. And as we move on, kind of perusing your article there, in the secondary, a lot of bodies in that secondary room. And now when you throw in rookies, free agents, what have you, a lot of competition at both corner and safety positions, Max.
Yeah, and we talked about people asking a lot about the wide receivers, people asking a lot about the defensive backs. I'll just turn to a couple fan questions as we're talking about the DBs. Richard Turner on Twitter, are we doing anything to tighten up the defensive secondary? And then the Franklin man on Twitter saying, do you expect the veteran defensive backs brought in, namely Durant Florence and Mike Mitchell, to solidify themselves as starters? And, you know, it's interesting. The secondary, I feel like we said this on the show several times, the secondary was addressed in a big way in free agency when you talk about Trey and Florence, DJ Moore, bringing back Captain Munderland, and Mike Mitchell coming into the fold.
Yeah.
So these are all guys who have played throughout their careers and are going to be competing for starting jobs. And you hear a lot, the competition makes all these position groups better. It is going to be very heavy competition in that secondary. I think that's only a positive development. And as we've talked about before, you talk about improving a defensive secondary, improving your front line is one way to do that as well, and that's certainly what the Panthers have done.
Well, as we always say on this show and have said, and I mean, it just goes without saying, competition is good.
Yeah.
It is good. Yeah. And there is going to be competition, and therefore they'll get better.
Yeah, I mean, I think to segue back to what we were talking about, can you segue back?
Sure, why not?
We'll do that. You know, to talk about.
Just don't ride a segue. your family.
My wife can speak to that, yeah. But, you know, the wide receiver talk about people wanting to see someone stand out, step up, establish themselves as the man. Honestly, I think that's more important at corner and at safety than it is at wide receiver. People want to talk about wide receiver, but that is a truly wide open situation, in my opinion, at corner especially, and at strong safety as well. That's where we need guys to establish, hey, I'm the man here, and take the reins.
And you know what's funny? And I talked to Josh Norman about this, and I said, one of the benefits of being a second-year player is no one pays any attention to you. You know, when you come in as a rookie, you get the spotlight at probably the worst time in your career because you're just trying to survive.
Yep. Right.
And it is not easy.
Yeah.
I use proper English there because I know that EOGs are going on today in Charlotte Mecklenburg schools. But it isn't easy being a rookie. And now those guys kind of fly under the radar.
Sure.
And I was talking to it was funny, Josh Norman and Frank Alexander. This time last year, where was all the focus?
Yeah.
And this year, where is all the focus? It's on the new guys.
Yeah.
What's new? What's exciting?
And
the thing, about it is that's not necessarily when they're ready. And now these guys can kind of come in under the radar.
Right.
Experience, having been through a whole cycle and know what they know.
Yeah. It's a good point. And this isn't going to help their cause, so to speak, from that perspective. But I like the point Max made in his article. Another one of his points was, want something to look at OTAs are rookies and veterans come together.
Right.
And people are going to be watching that, you know. They're not going to be watching as much how Josh Norman blends with the veterans. He is considered one now. But it's going to be very interesting to see if the rookies look like they belong. And honestly, I think they will. But if they don't, it's May.
It's
May.
Yeah. And speaking to that point, I mean, it's just about, I think, it's for the coaches and the players themselves. You're starting to visualize what this defense might look like when you talk about the rookies getting in there, namely the defensive tackles. That's where all the eyes are going to be. How are they going to fit in with Charles Johnson, Greg Hardy, Dwan Edwards? That's what we're looking to see. And, of course, you want to see the chemistry develop within the players themselves. OTAs is the first opportunity for that. So,
no doubt. Let's get some more questions there, Max.
Yeah, well, now that we've gotten to the defensive tackles, we've got a question from Chad Pinkson on Twitter. Of the two newest defensive line picks, being Star and Kaywan, which one do you think will make more of an immediate impact?
the one who gets on the field first.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean.
Exactly. And they will both have their opportunity. I think when you look at the pecking order, obviously Starr, a higher draft pick, will get his first shot. And yep. I really expect this guy not to make an immediate impact, not because of, you know, what necessarily what we've seen, but because of the position he plays. If yep. he does play that one gap guy in the middle, and he is creating havoc,
right.
then offenses around the league have to start figuring out,
yeah.
okay,
yeah.
how do we get this guy? And they're not thinking about number 59 back then.
Right, right.
Okay.
And, you know, I'll say they're two pretty different players in that. I think what you might see from Starr is stats-wise maybe not what you'll right. see from Kaywan, because Starr, I think, is going to eat more space. He's going to provide more opportunities for the linebackers behind him. He's more of that gap penetrator and makes plays for the others around him, so to speak, whereas Kaywan comes in as the more polished pass rusher. So you might see more sacks from Kaywan, and from right. the outside perspective, that might say, oh, Kaywan Short is having the better season.
Right.
Whereas that might not speak to what Starr is doing for the rest of the defense. But from that point of view, I think that's what you might see, because Short has been so good at, you know, getting to the quarterback and racking up sacks. And the interesting point Ron Rivera made was he thinks the pressure is obviously more on Starr just because he's a first-round pick. It's a little easier for Kaywan to kind of be that second guy where the expectation of the 14th overall pick is not on Kaywan's shoulders. That's yeah. on Starr. So it'll be yeah. interesting to see how he handles that as well.
No doubt.
I would say, yeah, from a statistical standpoint, I would yeah. agree. From a practical standpoint, my answer to the question would be a cop-out, both. And
right.
again, I'm almost more looking at, you know, you got Dwan Edwards back as well. Who's that fourth guy? You know, I mean, you need that rotation of four. And I'm going to be very curious. I mean, it's going to be a real battle to,
oh, yeah.
to nail down that spot.
Yeah. Yep. And you're talking about Sione Fua.
Yeah, you're talking about Sione.
Here again, another guy coming into,
right.
you know, getting a lot more experience. And Frank Kearse.
Yeah.
And he came on strong at the end of last year. Yeah. Hit that question that you had about attacking, I think
sure.
it was.
Laren Camp on yeah. Facebook yeah. asked, with two new defensive linemen, will the defense look to attack more with the linebackers or stick to a read and react style?
That's a lot. I mean, because think about it. When you talk about pressure in the middle, and,
yep.
and here again, there was a little tinge of the defense wasn't attacking last year, and mm-hmm. I'm, you know, I won't take too much issue with that. But if you go back and look at the film from the last four games, you talk about San Diego, the way they dominated out there, and the way they dominated. It's a mix. You can't
right.
have one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have players flying up attacking the,
right.
the field and the running backs over here. I mean,
right.
it has to be sound. Guys have to stay within the framework of the defense. If mm-hmm. not, the offense exploits it. So, I mean, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
have to be aggressive, and you have to be physical at the point of attack.
Yeah.
I think when you looked at your article, anything most defensive coaches are talking about is making it happen on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you got to have horses, horses to do that.
The article you're speaking to, I got a chance to sit down with Sean McDermott a little while ago and asked him kind of about the defense's approach with Starr and Kaywan now expected to make that impact. And what was interesting, what he said was, you know, in today's NFL, the quarterbacks are getting the ball out faster than ever. It's become a situation where you almost don't have time to get there. And if you want that attack-minded defense, I think a lot of people envision aggressive attack-minded defenses sending linebackers, sending a safety, and a lot of times there's just not time to get there. And then your
not
players
against
are out of
Brees.
Position. Sure,
right. Not against Tom Brady.
Yeah. So in this sense, now what Sean was explaining to me was that a lot of times pressure is now being provided from the inside, from your defensive tackles, because that's the quickest way to get to the quarterback. And if you can do that, that allows for some pressure. You've got to get there with four now. And now what the Panthers have done, instead of having to rely on blitzing to get to the quarterback, they've got their defensive ends in Charles Johnson and Greg Hardy, who've proven they can get there. And with the defensive tackles, they're hoping that an interior pass rush can disrupt the timing that's so critical to offenses now, where the three-step drop and let's get the ball out. So interesting to see how that might play out.
And Brian, when you go back and look at the last few, just go to the last game.
Right.
No, they didn't shut Drew Brees down.
Right.
But there were times in that game when that middle pressure
yeah.
did disrupt what the Saints were trying to do.
Right. And I think Sean has used this term, the controlled aggression, you know, that it does have to be aggression with direction. I think we've seen that. I mean, not that Drew Brees is going to escape the pocket and run for big gains all that often. That's not really his game. But just getting him off his mark with the pressure – where, you know, and you see what a big difference that makes with him, and we got the guys in place to do that even better this year.
Yeah, and I mean, stay on this because we got to compete in our division.
Right. Yeah.
It's a quarterback driven division, and I mean, we talked about Drew Brees, but you talk about Freeman, you talk about Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
These are all guys who rely on good vision, finding throwing lanes. Drew Brees probably more than the other two because of his height. And the thing about it is, if he's getting pressure in his face, he can't get comfortable.
Right.
Because if there's pressure outside, the middle's all taken care of, he can wiggle his way into a passing lane. But, I mean, it's a good thing. But fans just have to understand, hey, it's a lot of times if you're winning those individual battles up front, it looks a lot more aggressive than if you're getting pushed back on your rear end.
Yeah.
And I'll mention, I understand, obviously, it's a great quarterback league, great receivers, but we talk about aggression. We got some running games in this league, in this division to contend too. We've added, you know, the Falcons have added Steven Jackson to the mix. Obviously, Doug Martin had a great rookie year for the Buccaneers. And, you know, that's where, obviously, defensive tackle are key to controlling that. Did a better job late last year. And as we talk about the competition at defensive tackle, a little self-promoting here, we didn't mention Colin Cole, who we added in the offseason. And that is a run-stopping guy worth checking out. And I've got a story on the website about him right now that people might want to check out.
Well, good deal. Let's get one more question. I know we're a little bit over our allotted time.
Well, I've got a soft spot for this one as a guy who used to buy tons of jerseys back in my day. Jason Cantu on Twitter asks, when do jersey numbers become official? I just bought a Starlo Tulele jersey and my curiosity is peaked. So he just purchased the Tulele 96, and that's, I mean, the numbers are out. That's Star's number, 96.
Did he get it from Team Store?
Maybe ordered it online. I'm not sure if they're at the Team Store yet.
Send us a message real quick.
But I would say, now, as far as numbers being official, they're official right now. Those are the players' numbers. But I do know that, in particular, Kawan Short is probably going to look for a 90 number down the line if one becomes available. He wore 93 in college, I believe. Mm-hmm. He's with 68 now. So if you really want a Kawan Short jersey, I might suggest holding off on getting the Kawan Short 68.
Yeah, you just never know, though. They can change at any point, especially during the offseason. But they usually don't change that often, but the Short, that's a good point specifically.
Right.
Wasn't there a 90 number that already became available and we were a little surprised that he didn't jump on that?
That's true. Yeah, so, and maybe he's settled into 68. We'll have to ask him, but further notice, yeah.
You never know.
That's true.
You may make 68 the new
numbers are important.
The new 98, whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
It's funny how important numbers have become, especially now when players move from team to team. If they want their number, how much they'll be willing to pay somebody to get that number back. They want to wear what they wore in college. There's a lot of meaning attached to it, obviously, for a lot of players. So, always fun. But, yeah.
Well, not to cut you off, but we will keep you abreast of all the jersey numbers.
Of course. I'll do my best.
on Panthers.com as we aim to keep you informed. Well, as always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. It's Mike Kraft on behalf of Brian Strickland and Max Henson, Dave Monroe manning the live stream, and Dan LaCiaracca on the wheels of steel today. Good mix there in the music, by the way. And then he just gradually bringing. Okay. We'll see you guys next week.